Well, I want to say welcome to Healing School, where you're going to learn to receive and learn to give. See, that's just something that I just believe in, is that I'm not here just to tell you what I know. I'm here to let the Holy Spirit use me to teach you, to train you, so you can do the work of the ministry, but also that you can apply it in your life. I know many people will say, you know, I just can't pray for people to be healed because, you know, people can recognize there's some things in my life that's not healed yet. That's a terrible excuse. You know, I had an assistant pastor of mine one time told me, he said, you know, I have better anointing and more success in seeing people healed when I pray for them than I can pray for myself.
Yes.
I said, well, just get in line here, and you can get up here, and you go and give it to somebody else.
Amen.
You know, don't use that for an excuse. Abraham didn't. He didn't use it for an excuse. He prayed for others, and they were healed, right?
Yes.
Glory to God. Well, let's see. To start off with, I just made the statement that we're here to learn, to receive, and to give. First scripture will be Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus told his disciples, he sent them out. Let's just look at what he says. Now in verse 1, he talks about he gives him power. Actually, he gives him the word power. It's not the word power. We think power. It's the word authority.
Right.
See, they had authority in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Now, we go beyond that, right? We have authority and ability.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody here? Y'all need to understand that. You have exousia and dunamis, right? Exousia just means the authority in Jesus' name. And I used to use an example of police standing out with their badge and whatever, saying stop. Nowadays, that just don't seem to be working very good, so we won't use that for an example anymore. I think some people would run over them in a minute nowadays because there's not respect there. But in Jesus' name, you have authority, but you also have the ability. But back then, he gave them authority, and he sent them out, and he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now, he said this to who? His disciples. Any disciples in here today?
Yeah.
Any disciples? Disciples means disciplined ones, right? Disciplines under authority, learned. People coming to learn the word of God. You're up here for a reason today. They're learning. He said this to his disciples, and some people say, well, you know, he was talking to his 12 disciples. Well, if I had time, I'd share with you some more scriptures like Luke 11, verse 1, where it says, and another 70.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hello? And in the book of Acts, he went from thousands,
right.
Went from 120 to thousands and thousands. So don't use that for an excuse. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Now, this is free. This is free. What Jesus provided for us is free to us. Right? We didn't have to pay for it. He paid for it dearly. With everything. He gave us all. He gave it all to us. He paid the price. So freely, so we receive it, we can give it. It's not for you just to get and to keep.
Right.
You know, it's just like we're saying, faith without works is dead. And when you know, we've talked about it before. I'm sure you heard sermons and teachings on it before about the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason.
Yeah.
It just takes in. It doesn't give anything out. That's not Christianity. We're supposed to get so we can give. We're to bless to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing, God wants to bless you. And Pastor David taught us last week about, you know, how we can know the benefits, how we can know what God's provided for us. Just the first thing you must understand before you can receive healing or share healing with anybody, it must be an established fact that it is God's will for you to be healed. Say, it's God's will
for me
to be healed. See, You got to understand, it's for you. God's will for you to be healed. You know, it's people running around saying, well, you know, if it was His will, I'd be healed. I've just learned to be content in it and accept it and go on with life because God's in charge. If He wanted me healed, He'd heal me. That seems like the people that say, if He wants me to be saved, He'd save me. Yeah. Hello? You heard that too? There's people like that too. Well, He already did everything He can for you to be saved. He did everything He can for you to be healed.
Yes, He did.
And He's given you revelation to understand it's provided for you. But that's the first we must establish as a fact. Healing is God's will.
Amen.
I remember Pastor David in our first year, I think, where we had Professor Doug Jones teaching us Christ the Healer. You were in that class, weren't you? And Christ the Healer. And he would say, the first chapter, how many sermons can you come up with in the first chapter? Can you remember? Seems like 40-something, you know, in the first chapter of the book, Christ the Healer. Who was that by?
Bosworth.
F.F. Bosworth. And so, but in there, the first thing you have to establish is to know that it's God's will. Because if you're not sure, you're not going to have faith to receive it. Because there's going to be many things, like Carrie and I were talking about earlier, about walking by faith. There's going to be things you see that's going to say, ugh. It's like a guy told me, man, that's going to be a hard case for God to heal. It may be hard for you, but it's not hard for God. Hello? Is anything hard for God?
No.
Come on. I mean, people start looking, putting themselves in there, thinking, well, I can't do that. You forgot somebody. You know, I think Shambach called that the zero factor. That's you without God is zero. Hello? It's a zero factor. You forgot Him. Because with God, how many things are possible?
All.
I think all covers it, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the notes here. We learned last week that healing is children's bread,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're the children of God.
Yes. Right.
We're His children. It's I know we had that on a test too at Rhema. I missed that one. I admit it. I missed it. Patsy didn't. She got it, but I missed it. I didn't read the rest of the scripture. You have to read the whole thing, you know. But anyway, we've learned that healing is a covenant right. It's the benefit. Psalms 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Holy Spirit within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities. John, He forgives all of my iniquities. And He doesn't even remember them until we remind Him. So it'd be very smart not to remind Him. Just forgive yourself and you can take care of some things. Amen. He said He's faithful to forgive you. If He is, you know, and you say, well, you know, we're supposed to forgive other people. Sometimes you just have to forgive yourself. Not sometimes. All the time you need to forgive yourself. I mean, sometimes you think, well, I deserve worse. I deserve this. Well, thank God you're not going to get what you deserve. I want justice. I don't want justice. Hello? You understand? I do not want justice. I have Jesus. To spell it a different way. And that's all I need. What we learned also, let me cover this real quick, y'all keep interrupting me. Isaiah 52 and 53 and Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10, we see there that these scriptures by the Holy Spirit reveal that Jesus has already paid the price for our healing, our redemption from the curse of sickness and disease. You've been redeemed from it.
Amen.
Now, we can do things to cause it in our bodies. Hello? And we can't blame it all on the devil. Some things are self-inflicted. You ever heard that terminology before? Self-inflicted. We do it to ourselves. But thank God He forgives us and He wants to recover us.
Yes,
we'll see some scriptures in a minute that shows you that. Amen. That He wants to take you out and bring you on the right path.
That's right.
Amen. He's going to show you the way.
Yes.
He's redeemed us from the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Pastor David went into the law, went into Deuteronomy, I can say it, 28, and talked about these sort of things. If you do not obey me, do not walk in my ways, this is a curse. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, not the blessings of the law. Thank God. We can have the blessings of the law. Amen. We can have the blessings because Jesus made a better covenant based on better promises, which is his word. So that's another thing we have to understand here, is this right here, that he gave us his word. Can you, I'm praying that you get this revelation right now. This can be profound. You say, well, I heard that before. Don't get into the sin of familiarity, that I've heard it before and heard it before. I'm telling you, one little word you can hear from God. I hear things all the time from God, right in scriptures that I've read 1,000 times. Right. One little word, man, that brings a meaning here. Yeah. But God gave us his word. He gave us his word on everything in here. This is his word. He's going to keep his word. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. They shall not return me void, but they shall accomplish those things I sent it to accomplish, and shall prosper into the places that I sent it to prosper. So that's God's word. He gave it to us. We, it's our part just to say, that's God's word. I believe him. I trust him. That pleases God to trust in what he says. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel. That is a fight of faith. Not look at those things. Look at God's word over that. Right. Amen?
Amen.
That's casting, because see, the things you see will give you imaginations.
Yep.
Amen. The next scripture we'll use here. Now, we covered that part. We've learned these things. It's kind of what you were teaching, wasn't it, Pastor David? Okay. Access, the things that he says we can access. And learning how to access is very important.
Yes.
Those things. Now, 1 Peter 2:24, he's paid these things for us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself,
yes,
he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. How many knows a tree was a cross?
Hallelujah.
I mean, it's the most beautiful Christmas tree you could ever have. When I think about a Christmas tree, we decorate it, make it all pretty and everything. It's and that's the tree, the most beautiful tree.
Hey.
You say, well, that was Jesus up on a cross, and he wasn't looking very good. And all that, but you know what? For our salvation, it's the most beautiful tree you could ever see.
Amen.
It was definitely decorated.
Amen.
And it was God's Son, and it was my Savior. But anyway, he bare our sins in his own body. Say, in his body.
In his body.
In his body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you what?
Were.
Amen. Word means kind of a, isn't it past tense?
Yes.
Hello? I know you knew that. Past tense. We were healed. We're healed. Somewhere in between Isaiah 52, or 53 actually, 4 and 5, somewhere between there and 1 Peter 2:24, something happened.
Yeah.
Something provided for us. A lot of times we use Matthew 8:17, but I won't use it right now. But we can also, we know what he did by going to the cross and what he took in his body.
Yes.
He took the stripes. He took the beating. He took all these things. He suffered all these things so that we could be healed. I mean, it says here, you were healed. He took them in, I've got it, and here I got it marked, in his own body.
Yes.
Talk about it. In his own body. Where did he take all these? Now, remember now, Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God that did not ever sin. But he took all the consequences, every curse, every sickness, every disease from not obeying the Word of God. All the law, he took all the penalty of the law in his own body for us. He did it for us. He paid the price. Now, if he paid the price for us, then we must, as a responsibility, learn how to access this, how to appropriate it in our lives. I could go to a church with 1,000 people in it, and I say, Everybody in here, let's see if you can be honest. If there's any sickness in your body, raise your hand. And you wouldn't have 1,000 people, but there'd be a bunch of them lying. Hello? Because there's spiritual pride involved. I'm not asking anybody to do it today, okay? Don't worry, I'm not doing that. Maybe I will. I don't know. Never know. But the thing is, it's the part is, God doesn't want that. It's just like the scripture Pastor David used last week in James. Is there any sick among you? Like, well, you know, could it be possibly somebody here had a sickness? Somebody here would be attacked some kind of way? The devil is still loose and doing things? And I mean, is it a possibility? Well, it shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be, right? Because we are redeemed from the curse of sickness. Isn't that right? You know, we were healed. So here's my question. You know, remember now, we're in healing school, okay? We're having an open book test, so it's not going to be very hard. The answer's right there in the Word. Everybody say Word. The answer's in the Word. You're going to find the answers, right? And you're going to hear the answers in the Word. So I may ask some questions, and it's okay if you speak out. Remember, we're in school. Wait a minute. We're told not to do that in school, right? Okay, nobody's chewing gum. Okay, we weren't allowed to do that at Rhema for sure. Patsy didn't like that, but anyway. we have to learn to be convinced, to be totally persuaded that healing is yours, yes. Right? That healing is yours, that it's His will for you to be healed. Doug Jones, as I said earlier, was one of our instructors at Rhema. And Doug Jones said something. He says, when I went to one of his meetings, I think it was in Rome, Georgia, and he said that faith is a strong conviction, a persuasion of a belief. A strong conviction or persuasion. So I may say this a few times tonight. Are you persuaded? I'm not going to say, are you convicted? It's conviction. I mean, like, man, I just know that's the truth. Right, yeah. It's just like Dodie Osteen when she told her, John Osteen said, it's just, I mean, I feel all this pain in my body. This cancer is eating me up here. But she said, but I just know in my heart that I'm healed. Yeah, I just know here. But my head is having a hard time with it, believing it, right? And he says, that doesn't matter. Faith comes from the heart. You believe with your heart, right? You confess with your mouth, but with your heart, man believeth unto salvation, which is your healing. And so he shared it with her. It's like, okay, good, because I know in here. I know in here. So this is what Doug Jones says. Now, Oral Roberts says it another way. Oral Roberts says, faith is when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know. Now, I don't know how many times he said it, but anyway. Main thing is, that you know that you know that you know. Yeah. There's no more doubts anymore. You've heard of a pastor named Joseph Ripley, hadn't you? Yeah, down south Atlanta. And he says, feed your faith and starve your doubt to death, right? Yeah. So when you feed on the Word, John, and word, doubt's got to go. Yeah. They can't live in the same house at the same time. You can't do both at the same time. Right. So when you feed your faith, where's faith come from? Hearing the Word, right? Hearing the Word, hearing the Word, hearing the Word. Faith cometh, fear goeth. Amen. Faith cometh, doubt goeth. Amen. Amen? But we won't get into all that. That's another sermon there. But anyway, when I was pastoring back in Louisiana, when I first started the church called Word of Truth Family Church, the logo that God gave me at the time was John 8:32. You shall know the truth. Let me say it again. You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. The verse before that says, if you continue in my word, continue in what? Continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then he turns and says, and you shall know the truth. Because why? You're continuing in the Word. You're abiding the word. The word's abiding. You can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. Because what you ask for, I think we heard that too last week. Because you're not going to ask anything outside of God's will if you're abiding in God's will. If you're asking according to His will, you know He hears you. Then you know you can have the petition that you desire. 1 John 5:14. So, I mean, you know, that's God's word He give us. And you just, you know, you let the Holy Spirit give it to you. Right? Let Him work it through you. It says you shall know the truth. You shall know. It's just like Oral Roberts says, you know that you know that you know that you know.
Yes.
When you do that, there's no doubt. You know it's time to walk up there and somebody lay hands on me and I'm going to receive it now.
Right.
You got it now. It's going to be a time for you to do that. When you know that you know, when you're totally persuaded, I mean, you have a strong conviction, you're totally persuaded that God's word is true and He wants it for you today, you can receive it. See, now, here's my question here again, giving you an open book question, because the book's already in you. He said, I've written my word, put it on your heart.
Yes.
So I know you know this. What is, I'm saying the word what? What is truth? John 17:17, thy word is truth. So what is truth? The word is truth, right? Now, I ask the question, who is truth? John 14:6, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody gets through to the Father except through me. There is no other way. Hello? There may be people come to your door, knock on your door, and tell you there's another way. Patsy's got some favorite scriptures in the Bible she lets them have. She says, they said, well, can we share about 5 minutes with you? And Patsy says, can I have the first five? And they say, yeah. Well, they're gone now. Because they just said that they just found out they're the Antichrist spirit. I'll tell you where it's at sometime. Anyway, 1 John. Okay, well, I got to get back here on the trail here, get back on track. Okay, yeah. Who is truth? Though, you know, thy word is truth, but who is truth? It's Jesus.
Yes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Now let's look at 3 John 4. Again, I'm sharing these things with you. I'm trying to do more teaching than anything else today, because it's important that I get this word inside of you. But if you're hungry, you'll get it.
Amen.
Hello? If you're not hungry, I can't help you. You know, the word is spiritual food.
Yes.
The Bible says, I think it's in Matthew 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every what?
Word.
Every word,
yes,
that comes from where? The mouth of God.
Yes.
Here we go. It comes from the mouth of God. This is what, now, is this a word?
Yes, it is.
3 John I mean, I put 1:4, but it, you know, there's no chapters other than one chapter in there. But anyway, 3 John 4, he says, I have no greater joy. Nothing brings to me more joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. There's nothing brings more joy to me. I mean, you know, when you raise children, you have children, there's certain things they do. So this just brings joy in my life to see them doing that. And this is what God is saying. He says, I have no greater joy.
Wow.
Well, you say, this is John. John, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hello? And it's called the Word. This is God. Because without faith, you can't please God, right?
Right.
Y'all know that.
Yep.
That's God speaking. Without faith. If you're walking in truth, you're walking in faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you're walking in God's Word, you're pleasing God. So that brings joy to Him. I have no greater joy than see my children walking in truth. Why? I could say it this way here. I have no greater joy, God said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the Word. Because the Word is truth, right?
Yeah.
The Word is truth. I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. Why? Because He knows if you're walking in the truth, you're going to access what He's provided for you.
Yes.
You're going to be able to grab it blab it and grab it or any kind of way you can. You know, you grab it and take off with it and say, it's mine.
Right.
And nobody's going to talk me out of it, John.
Right.
Nobody can talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Amen? You get a grip on God's Word. Hold fast to it, Scripture says.
Right.
Hold fast. Get a grip. I know people here in Georgia say, get a bulldog grip. Well, you haven't seen my little dog. I have a Yorkie.
Oh, yeah.
And when she bites a hold of something, you better not have your hand on it. I mean, especially if it's something to eat. Now, she'll play with little toys and stuff like, but if it's something to eat, you don't even try to. Now, my daughter's got the little Pomeranian. You put it up to here, and it goes, licks it a couple times and see if it likes it. Not my dog. She swallowed it before she knows she likes it or not, man, in half of your hand. You know, I'm telling the truth, Patsy. I tell you that she'll whack it good there, you know. So you throw it to her. You say, a little Yorkie? Yeah, she's a vicious little thing. But here's the thing is, when she bites a hold of something, you're not getting away from Patsy's tried it a few times. I mean, even say you have a napkin that you had when you're eating your food. Nobody's ever done that except it, you know, at the table. But sometimes we eat at the coffee table, call it, right? And if the wind, the ceiling fan, or something blows off, the napkin hits the floor, my dog will eat that napkin, you know, just from the smell off of it, you know? And you try to get away from her. But anyway, back this right here. She gets a grip on something, and, you know, we always make the statement, so I'm grabbing a hold of God's word, nothing's going to shake me. Well, if my Yorkie got a hold of it, she's a rat. They call them a rat dog. You know, Yorkies are rat dogs. They put it in their mouth and they shake their heads. I mean, and if they hit something with it, they're going to knock themselves out. You know, but that's what I'm concerned with on her sometimes. But anyway, she shakes it, but she gets a grip. That's the way we have to do. Get a grip on it. Don't let go of it. I know that we're talking about a serious subject. We're talking about something that's life or death. But sometimes we have to kind of relate and understand some things, you know, that when you get it, I know that John said earlier, he says, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. What I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do. You know, and I think about this picture that I see, you know, I saw at a gas station one time. Y'all might have seen it or heard about it, where you've got this crane that's got this frog going down his mouth.
Yeah.
And it's got the frog's got his little two little hands. His head's inside the crane's mouth, but he's got his two hands around that crane's neck, squishing it. That looks like something you do in the swamps in Louisiana, right? I mean, you got a hold on that crane's neck. I'm squeezing. I'm not going to give up till this crane passes out, you know. And it can happen. But that's the way you got to be. I'm not going to give up. Never give up. Never give up. Where was I? Anybody know?
Never give up.
What was that? What's the next scripture? I'll find out where I am. Is this it? Oh, yeah, yeah. This okay. Now, we use verse 4. We did verse 4. But this is the same book, right? How many knows the same book is the same word?
Yes.
So that means it's God's word.
Right, man.
See, Brian, you're talking to adults in here. It doesn't matter. We have to catch on to these things. Simple little things sometimes. Beloved, he says, beloved, I wish. Now, you know, I know God doesn't say I wish, right?
Right.
So I'm going to change that word to I will.
Yeah.
This is my will.
Right.
Above everything else. I will above all things that you may prosper. It's my will that you prosper and be in health. Now, here we know the word health means divine health. That doesn't, you know, God is just not a part of just wanting people just to be healed, to get healed. He wants you to stay healed.
Amen.
Hello? I can't tell you how many people I've seen that come up and be prayed for and was healed. And next week they're sick again from the same thing. I mean, I've seen them get out of wheelchairs, walk around the church, go home, and next week they're back in a wheelchair again. They had to be where the anointing was, the presence was, but they didn't do what I'm talking to you about tonight. What's so important is to get the word inside of you. And when something that comes against the word, you say, no, no, no.
Right.
That doesn't line up with God's word, God's will. And that's got to go. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. When a symptom comes, you have to speak to the symptom.
Yes.
You say, wait a minute, that doesn't line up with God's word. Because when a symptom comes, you know what happens? The devil says, he's got a big long list. Would you believe throat cancer? Okay, how about the flu? How about, I mean, he's got a list, a long list. He's going to try to find something you agree with him on.
Right.
Well, yeah, maybe it's fatty liver. What did you say wrong? But I mean, he's got a long list. He's got a long list. I'm trying to read lips, but it's dangerous to be reading world's lips, I'm sure. But beloved, I will above everything that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Even as. Somebody say, even as.
Yeah, even as.
Somebody else say, even as.
Even as.
Oh, same people said it. Okay, good. Some people will speak and some wouldn't if you poked them with something. I love everybody here, so I'm not picking anybody. I'm just preaching. So what Ken Jr. said about his dad. Mom, is he telling the truth or is he just preaching? You remember that, don't you? Yeah. I would hate that. My kids would think, well, he's just preaching. He ain't telling the truth. You know, telling the truth. Oh, boy. Okay. Even as, the New King James Version says, just as your soul prospers. I will that you prosper and be in health, even as or just as your soul prospers. I like the translation which says that in direct proportion that your soul prospers. When your soul is prospering, that's what it's all about. When your soul, what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotion, right? So when your mind, will, and emotion is prospering, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the mind part. But there are some things with emotions.
Yes.
And your will can all be changed too in the renewing of the mind.
Right.
So when you renew the mind, you renew your emotions and you renew your will to God's will. So when you say, well, how can we renew our mind? Well, I know you think about the scripture in Romans, right? What is that, 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Renewing, that's how you transform your life. That's how your life, by your mind being renewed.
Right.
To do what? To think like God?
Yes.
Or, you know, to have a mind, I think there's a scripture in the Bible. I know it is. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, Paul says, I have the mind of Christ. Amplified says, I have the mind of Christ, hold the thoughts, purposes, and plans of God.
Yeah.
I don't think I gave you that. No, I have the mind of Christ. So we can say, how can we have the mind of Christ? You know, a lot of people go around saying, well, you know, And Isaiah it says, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Yeah, that's in the flesh.
Right.
But if you're in the spirit,
right.
If you're being led by the spirit, your ways and his ways ought to be the same.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
If you're in the spirit, you have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
How many knows, if you look in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you see in there that God reveals things to us by his spirit. So he's speaking to our mind. He's speaking to us, our spirit. But guess who's in on it?
Mm-hmm.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Hello? It starts in your spirit, but it goes from your spirit to your mind. That's the way God works things. But he's spirit, so he works with you with your spirit. This is a revelation he gives us, that we have the mind of Christ. We have a prospering soul. Everybody say this with me. A prospering soul.
A prospering soul.
That's what you want.
Yes.
A prospering soul. Because as your soul prospers,
yes,
so does your body, so does your healing in your life, your blessings in your life, whether it's financial or whatever it is in your life you need. You know, God wants to bless you. God wants you to be so blessed that his covenant would be established in your life and people will see. Those people know God.
Right.
They know God.
Right.
See, when you see the, you know, we used to hear Kenneth Copeland talking about this, coming to his conventions, You say, when you see the Cadillacs, back in those days, the Cadillac was a big thing, right? When Cadillacs, when you see the Cadillacs and the Lincoln Continentals driving up, you say, well, first thing you think of, there's a mafia, right? It shouldn't be that way. It's when you see that come up, you should say, there's the children of God. They're so blessed. Amen? God wants them to be blessed. He doesn't care how what you have, just as long as you don't. It doesn't have you. Hello? You know, it's something you said Sunday morning up here about a lifestyle. He's designed a lifestyle for you. You just got to decide, I want that, and I'm going to live in that. Amen. I mean, I choose life. Yes. That's part of life. I choose it. My wife is that way, too. Man, she preaches it to me, and I amen, you know. I would say I preached to her, but that didn't work very good. So anyway, I try. Here's another scripture we can look at here, Proverbs 4. What gets us here? Prospering soul, right? Prospering soul, prospering mind. Where do we get it from? Where do we get this from? Well, we say, well, you're talking about getting it from the Word, right? Look, it says here, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, right? My son, attend. The word attend here tells you something right now. It says attention. Yeah. Hello? Anybody been in the military here before? I'm the only one? Okay. Well, back in years ago, used to be a lot of that. But anyway, when they said attention, man, everything, every focus you had before disappears. Right. You focus on what that guy is going to say. Right. I mean, you put them heels together. I mean, you put them, I don't know if I can do it anymore. Anyway, pop those heels together, and you send it attention when he says attention. And you're listening to everything he said. Do not miss a word he says. Because he could say something that could cost you if you didn't hear it. And that's what God is saying. You know, I want your attention. My son. That means his daughters too. Remember the word son also means children?
Yes.
So my children, attend to my words. Put attention on my words. Incline your ear. Faith come by what? Incline your ear unto my sayings. Next verse. Let them, what's them? His words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Karen, that's what we were talking about a while ago. Eyes have to be on the word. If your eyes are on the problems, eyes on the mountains.
Right.
See, that's what happens. So many Christians are looking at the mountains. They're looking at the problems.
Yeah.
And God says to look at me. Look at my word.
Yes.
You know, prioritize this thing here. Give attention by word.
Amen.
Over what you see. Let them not depart from your eyes.
Amen.
Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why in the heart? Why in the heart? You believe with a what?
Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah.
With the heart, you believe, right?
Right.
So it's important what goes in your heart.
Yes. Amen.
Faith is of the heart. Your believing is of the heart.
Amen.
And also, let me say this right here. I'm going to give you an answer to the test right here. Matthew 12:34. The abundance of the heart,
yes,
the mouth speaks. If you put it in your heart, you're going to speak,
yes,
it in your life.
Amen.
When something happens, instead of saying, oh, shoot. That's what I would say. I mean, the worst thing I'd say. I got that from my wife. I blame it on her. Didn't you say that before? But anyway, instead of that, you say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You are my healer.
Yeah.
You are faithful,
right,
to your word.
Right.
You'll watch over your word to perform it in my life, and I'm going to receive it.
Right.
In Jesus' name, I believe it. I declare it. It's done. The Bible says, if I declare a thing, it shall be.
That's right.
So I'm declaring your word is true and it's going to work in my life.
Yeah.
So that's what you do when that happens. That's verse 21. Let's go on here because I'm getting behind, going backwards. For they are what? The words are life. Life. Zoe, they're Zoe, they're life unto them that find them. Somebody say, find them. Because see, now we've heard these scriptures over and over and over again. We got to read these things slow. I mean, I could go through them and quote these scriptures to you and whoopee-doo, you know. We can't just have mental assent.
Right.
We need understanding.
Yes.
Because if you don't have understanding, what happens? The devil can rob them from you. They didn't. That's how he comes in to take away the word.
Right.
It's when you didn't get understanding. I want you to have understanding here. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I'll go ahead and read the whole thing here, I guess, and I'll go back on this in a minute. We'll come back to that scripture. Keep your heart. The word keep means guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Boy, I mean, so many things come to me right now to tell you about, but I just don't have time. But guarding your heart, you know, and when you put on armor, you have a breastplate, right? A breastplate. What's it cover? Your heart. Breastplate. It covers your heart, which is covering your face.
Yes.
You say, well, I've got the shield of... Oh, man, that's the shield of faith is one of the most important.
Yes.
Because it's out front.
Yep.
It's out front. We won't have time, all that. But anyway, put away from thee a froward mouth. See, most people stop at 23. Let's look at 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Wait a minute. Guard your heart... Now, Amplified says, guard your heart because, what, the issues of life come from it?
Yep.
Look at this verse 23. Can you go back there? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Right.
For out of it, out of your heart, for keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of what? Out of your heart is where the issues of life come from. That's what your life is all about, what you put in your heart. God's word is to be in your heart because it's spiritual. God's word is spiritual. John 6:63, thy word is spirit and it is life, right? So his word is spirit. So it's spirit. It's living and it's alive and it's not dying. It's moving. It's changing things completely and it can change your situation. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the directions of life to go in. Protect your heart. Make sure you protect what goes in. Because if your ear gates and your eye gates are allowing things to come in, they get into your heart. And you're going to have some problems if it's not the Word of God. Let's go back to verse 22 again. And I'm going to give you a revelation here. Another one here. For they, the word, God's words, now we know the answer is God's words. God's words, for they are life unto them that find them, and health, health to all their flesh. They are health, they are healing to all their flesh. Yep, it's an open book test. We're getting it right now. And you're hearing the answers to some questions you have. Some people are getting some things that's going to help you a lot. Some people are getting some things they're thinking about somebody else that they can share this with. And God will open, if you get it in you, God will open the doors for you to give it to somebody else.
Yes.
If it just bounces off of you, then it's not God opening the doors for you. But God will.
Right.
He opens the doors for us. He just wants you to go do something. If you say, I'm willing, Lord, I'm going to be obedient, then he will give you something. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's important what you put in the heart. Because when your mouth speaks, then what are you doing?
Yes.
You heard me say it 1,000 times. When your mouth speaks, you're planting a seed.
Yeah.
And you want the seed of God's word. Make sure you're planting it instead of something negative.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God's word is life to them that find them. Let's look at the scripture in Jeremiah, Pastor David. Jeremiah, we're going to look at King James first. Now, let's just say it this way here. I know y'all are up there reading this right now, but just think now. When you're looking for something, you're praying, you're seeking God, and you say, he says, it's life to them that find them. Has God, you know, I need something in my life right now. And there's something I need. I need healing or I need something in my life. Maybe God will show me something. I'm going to open up the word. Lord, show me a word. And what if he showed you this word?
Uh-huh.
What if this was a rhema?
Yeah.
A rhema. A revelation by the Holy Spirit of God spoken to you when you read it. It's a rhema. For I will restore health unto you. I will heal you.
Amen.
Of all your wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee out an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeks after. You know, this was a time, thank God it's not that way today. You think we're having bad times today.
Right.
Look, back then they were turning from God and leaving, but
right.
God still had his family.
Yes.
There was still a remnant.
Yes.
There'll always be a remnant. But let's look at it in the Amplified. And when you read this, I want you to think about this is for you. You say, you know, you're here tonight. So if you're here tonight, then God has this for you.
Yes.
Amen. Say it's mine. As for you, I'll come with healing, curing, everybody say curing.
Curing
the incurable, because they all gave up on you and dismissed you as hopeless.
Yeah.
I won't even read the other part. But when everybody else gives up on you, John,
yeah. Right.
Sometimes you give up on yourself. You just have to go on that, and believe in God more than you believe in yourself.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Me
Amen.
Plus God can
right.
do anything.
Right.
Just don't ever try to do it on your own, John.
That's right.
Don't ever try doing your own. I'm not here on my own.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
This, I mean, what kind of revelation is this? What if, I'm saying what if. But I shouldn't say what if anymore. He did it already.
Right.
He gave it to me today to give it to you.
That's right.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife gave it to me. So I'm giving it to you, and you can give it to whoever you want to. But whoever God leads you to give it to. As for you, I'll come with healing, with curing the incurable, because they all gave up on you and dismissed you as hopeless. How many people today are sent home and the doctors give up on them? It's just a hopeless case. Sometimes you feel like a hopeless case. But just remember, he says, I'll come and I'll cure you.
Amen.
I'll cure you.
Amen.
I'll help you. Okay, in the next part of the scripture in verse 22, he says, you know, that it is, when you find it, it's health to your flesh.
Yes.
I know Amplified says what medicine to your flesh, right? Healing and medicine. Now, the Hebrew word is marpe. I don't know, Bonnie, if I'm saying it right. It's M-A-R-P-E. Marpe. Marpe. You've heard that before. It's marpe. And it says here, what this word marpe here is saying is cure, a remedy, healing, sound, and medicine. You can put all these words in there. It means God's word is medicine, it's healing, it's a cure, it's a remedy to make us sound and healed. You get that? Y'all get that? I'm going to say it again, though, because
yeah.
I need to get some more of it here.
Yeah.
This means God's word is life unto them to find it, health and medicine, a healing, a cure, a remedy to make us sound and healed.
Yes.
Mm. Amen. That's, you say, well, you know, I just need to find that kind of word that does that for me. You know, I was working, at one time before I went to Rhema, I was working a route sales job. Had me a little step van, you know, delivering the Lance. Anybody ever seen a Lance truck?
You
know, I don't know if you see it. Yeah, peanut crackers and chips and all that. Cookies and Michigan cherries. Yeah, I had 24 stores on my route. So, I mean, 24 schools on my route. I had a lot more, about 200 stores. But anyway, and I just, you know, I'd work only 3.5 days a week. So I'm just so blessed with that job. God opened it up for me. I left a civil service job and got this van and got that job. I said, man, I can just pray in the spirit going down the road between different stops. Man, I can just pray in tongues. And I, you know, one day I noticed I was praying in tongues and I'm looking at my next stop and I was reading what it said, where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And I'm thinking, how can I do that and pray in tongues at the same time? Man, did I get a revelation? It shows you it's the Spirit that's doing the praying.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep.
Right.
And my mind was over here. Right. So Didn't have to put them connected. That's where a lot of people have problems speaking in tongues because they're trying to use their mind.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I found that part. That didn't work. Yeah. Just let the Holy Spirit just work through them. Just trust them to do it. But anyway, I was on this route one day, and I was coming back in, circling around. And I was in North Louisiana. I wasn't in Cajun this time. I go to Marksville, Oakdale, all those places, you know, a little further south. But then this route, I was going to the north part. And I came around, and all of a sudden, I started getting these chills in my body, just, you know, chills. And all of a sudden, next thing, fever. And then all of a sudden, sore throat. And I was feeling all these things, and I just started shaking a little bit. I said, I just have two more stops, and I will pull in toward my house. I only worked 3.5 days a week, and fantastic job in a way. But anyway, I came in. I said, okay. I come in the house, but I'd been praying in the spirit and everything through all this. I said, okay. Then this should not be in my body, should not be here. And I didn't know things like I know today, but I did know a few things. I knew this scripture right here. Proverbs 4:20-22 at the time. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings, let them not depart from my eyes, their life and health and to all your flesh. And I said, you know, so I went at the house, Patsy wasn't home yet. So I went in there and there wasn't any NyQuil, there wasn't any aspirin, there wasn't any Advil or anything else in there. So I said, well, you know, I got the gospels right here. I'll just take some of these. So I just got in the bed over there, and I put that Bible right there in my face, and I started reading. And I first started off in Proverbs 4, reading that, but I was meditating on it. See, I was giving attention to it,
yes.
What he said the word is. And when I saw that, words would come to me.
Yep.
God, what God said about healing, what he said was mine. And I would say what he said.
Yes.
I'm giving you all the answers in my next teachings, but anyway. I started meditating on that. And next thing I know, I fell asleep. A couple hours later, I woke up. You know when you break out of a sweat? Broke out of a fever, what happens? You're soaking wet with sweat. My clothes were wet with sweat. I had no symptoms of any kind. No fever, no sore throat, no chills, no nothing.
Amen.
It was just God's word that I fed on.
Yes.
And that's what he said. It's healing. It's medicine. And that was my healing and medicine.
Amen.
So I saw it happen. Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he says, I sent forth my word and healed them. What did he send?
His word.
He sent his word. Thy word is truth. And who was the word? Jesus was the word, right? John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? The creator of, our creator became flesh. And dwell among us. So the word became flesh. And when the flesh was here, what did the flesh do? The flesh went about what? Healing. Ministering, teaching, preaching, and healing. Destroying the works of the enemy. Sickness is a work of the enemy. He went destroying it. That was what he was doing. And so what he did before in the flesh, he does the same in the word today. It didn't change. His will didn't change. He wants it to done today through his word. So he's given us his word. He sent forth his word to bring healing. Say, well, Dad, was that talking about Jesus? When Jesus came, he was word and he brought healing and he left. He didn't leave us without his word.
Right.
Hello? He left in the flesh, but he didn't leave us without his word.
Right.
He left his will and testament.
Yes.
Hello? Isn't that right?
Amen.
He left his will and testament. We know what his will is.
Yeah.
What he's provided for us. We can get our inheritance.
Amen.
But it's by faith. We learn how to access that. And I want to get into that. But I have to. He sent his word. He sent the medicine. He sent the remedy. He sent a cure for everything in our life is in his word. Y'all did get that, right? Y'all caught that? We have to access it, our healing, take our medicine until we are totally persuaded.
Yes.
That's how long do I have to take it, John? Until I know that I know that I know that I know.
Right.
Until I'm totally persuaded. Until I have a strong conviction that this is what God wants from me and I must have it now.
Right. Yep.
It's up to us to get in that place, but we have to keep taking that. How long do we have to take it? I remember stories with Kenneth Hagin would talk about. I'm closing. This is my closing part. Kenneth Hagin, I think my watch, I don't know if it's fast or slow or whatever. It's too hard to reset this one. Anyway, Ken Hagin would say he would go to meetings and he'd have these 2-week meetings and 3-week meetings and things like that. And people would come to the meetings and what they expect to is be built up in faith to receive their healing. Isn't that what they come for? Okay, they would come to his meetings and, you know, the ones that waited until their faith was built up, they'd be there 3, 4, 5 days a week if they knew it was going to be longer. And they would wait till their faith is built up and they'd come up front and say, okay, Brother Hagin, lay your hands on me. I'm ready to receive now. See, they were totally persuaded. This was it. This was my time. And he came up and said, let's just try it out and see if he's got anything. See if it's going to work tonight. You know, he's like me. I understand. I know what I got. But it doesn't mean I know what Jesus had.
Amen.
And Jesus in his own hometown couldn't get people healed. Mark chapter 6. Because of unbelief. You know, but anyway. And Kenneth Hagin talks a lot of times about praying, laying hands on somebody. It's like grabbing a doorknob. Just dead. Nothing there. Hello? Well, I didn't mean the person was dead. Just meant they had no faith.
Right.
You know, it wasn't anything working there. And at healing school at Rhema, Keith Moore, wasn't he there the whole time me and you were? Was he doing healing school at that time? I think so. And Keith Moore would say things like, you know, there's people that would come in there at Rhema for healing school after school's over with, healing school met, and they would come in from all over the world, people coming there to learn about healing, to receive healing, or to learn how to minister healing. Because some people would go back to other countries and places and minister healing through what they learned, they're being trained there. And he said, now a lot of them came in there with incurable diseases, and it was like the scripture we got a while ago where it says, you know, all hope was gone. They're hopeless, incurable, and nothing we can do. And they come over there and they sit down and listen to the teachings. And they would sit there for a long time, many days, to get their faith built up where they could be healed. And many were healed like that. But some were not healed because they didn't have much faith to start off with. It takes time for faith to build up. Most people say, I want it and I want it now. I want you to give it to me now. Well, that's the ones, you know, going to like a Benny Hinn meeting. They go to a meeting and they go up there and they get healed and they walk out the door and tomorrow they're sick as they can be, or, you know, maybe even worse. I've seen them get out of wheelchairs and stuff and lose it completely. I know people personally that did that. They'd go, see, it's learning how to keep it. We're talking about divine health. Not just healing your body now. We're talking about divine health. He wills that you walk in divine health, even as your soul prospers. So we're talking about prospering your soul. There's other ways to be healed. We'll talk about that later. There are different ways how to receive healing. But tonight we're talking about the part of you building up your faith by knowing the Word of God, having the Word of God there. But one thing Keith Moore said, my last thing I want to say, I think, not promising, but I'm thinking, is he said that there was people that just, you know, didn't have enough time to get faith built up. And he said, I have letters from people. I know you've heard this before, Pastor David. He'd had letters from people saying, you know, I wish we'd had more time. I wish my husband would have had more time. We appreciate your teaching on the Word to build up our faith, but we just didn't have enough time. And they die because they came here for last resort and last minute. See, it's all about us making a decision. We're going to start now. Let's do it now. Let's be prepared so we can minister to other people and to help people. And don't ever think, well, you know, okay, Brother Brian, are you saying that we shouldn't come up, that we shouldn't come up for prayer, that we shouldn't come up to receive our healing? Right now, until my faith is so, I'm so excited, I'm saying this is it for me today. I'm going to receive today. Should I just wait for that? I'm not telling you what to do. It's between you and God on that. But I'm just saying, I know that's the way it works. Amen. I just know it's the way it works. But Kenneth Hagin always says, you know, that sometimes you can build people's faith up, and people come up and say, but just the most simplest way to bring healing to people is to lay hands on them. Just to lay hands on them. Just put hands on them. And see, the Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, it didn't say anything about me. It just says, I lay hands on the sick. And God does that part. Amen. But don't think, well, I just don't know what people's going to think. I wish Paul was here tonight. He'd tell you. But a guy in our church, his name was Bob. We called him, What About Bob? And he was just like, what about Bob? Did y'all ever see the movie? He followed me around everywhere. I don't care where I went. He wanted to help me do everything. I mean, he built a lot of things in our church. I mean, because of shelves and cabinets. He wanted to be around me all the time. He's called, what about Bob? And but when he first came to our church, we were in Snellville, in the main highway. We just started the church. I think it was the second week our church was there. And it's Episcopal church right before you get to it. And he got there too late. They started at 10 o'clock. Ours started at 10:30. So he was too late. So he said, you know what? We'll just pull in there. We need to go to church today. How many knows it changed his life? He was in our church for close to 20 years, you know? But when he first came, he was like, it's right here. And he didn't know anything about faith, but he came up. But I said something about, I'll pray for the sick. And, you know, and I think sometimes I'll say things that God tells me to say. And I would say things like, well, you know, just like Oral Roberts did in the tents, in those sawdust tents. He prayed for the sick. Well, see, people a certain age, because he was probably about 15 years older than me. So, I mean, he could relate with that some way, you know. Well, he came up, and I prayed for him. I just laid hands on him, prayed for him, you know. And the first time he fell on the floor. The first time. He'd never had it happen before in his life. So that just kind of blew him away, you know. He didn't know what that was. So then the next time he came, you know, next week, he came for prayer again. Next week, he came for prayer again. Next week, he came for prayer again. And after about a couple, 2 or 3 months of that, he came up every service to be prayed. He said, you know, I kind of hate it. He said, I don't know what people think about me. I keep coming up here, you know, and you know, he says, I said, well, let me ask you a question, Bob. Why worry about what people think? Is this helping you? He says, yeah, the doctor's taking me off this medication. Doctor's taking me off that medication. And I'm getting, you know, this healing here. I said, well, don't worry about it, what anybody thinks.
Amen.
Just get what you need. Amen. And he kept doing that for years. But I'm telling you, it changed his life. He couldn't drive a car. He ended up working at Home Depot, over 70 years old, you know. Working at Home Depot, smarter than anybody there. He knew more about the things than most guys that worked there. But I'm just saying, you know, he made a decision. I can't worry about people. I'm getting something from God. And I'll tell you something funny about him. One more thing about him. It's when he would come up, I know. When he would come up, when you get close to me, his legs are buckling. I mean, I didn't have to touch him. I didn't have to lay hands on him at all. He knew how to receive. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Learn how to receive. He knew how to receive. He could get up close to me, and he was always grabbing for me. And I'm telling ushers, grab him, because he's going to grab me and pull me down with him. You know, because he wouldn't fall backwards. He'd fall face forward. I mean, he'd just go down to his knees or whatever. But I'll never forget that guy. I'll never forget him. What about Bob? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word.